In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, it's been a constant refrain throughout all of human history. People rise to power, many with very good intentions and idealistic visions of a better world for themselves and for those that they serve, only to be seduced by the allure of power and all of its trappings. Now, I guarantee you, this election year, we will hear countless campaign ads telling us the exact same story. A fresh new face promising to do things in a different way. I will clean up Washington, or I will fix Jefferson City, they will promise us. It will no longer be business as usual. I cannot be bought. I will not bow down to the lobbyists. I stand for the people. And so we will get excited. We'll slap a bumper sticker on our car. We'll put a sign in our yard. And we'll say, finally, this is the person who is going to save us. We will give them the power that they seek, hoping that they will change the system, only to discover that so quickly the system winds up changing them. But power has a way of doing that. Just look at the Russian Revolution. Now, it was started by people who fought against what they saw as the oppression of the people by those in power, only to become themselves one of the most oppressive regimes in world history. But human beings have a hard time learning this lesson. We keep thinking that this time it will be better. This time we're not going to let the power go to our heads. This time we have the right man or the right woman for the job. But to quote the old Herman's Hermit song about Henry VIII, next verse, same as the first. But God has a way of taking the way things typically work and flipping those things on their heads. And Palm Sunday is just such an occasion. Our service today began with the waving of palm branches and the declaration, Hosanna to the Son of David, the King of Israel. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, as we remember Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And this is more than just a parade. It's a coronation. All of the symbols, from the donkey to the palm branches to the cries of Hosanna, are royal images pointing unequivocally to the kingship of Jesus. Now, we can't help at this point but to remember Jesus' temptations back in chapter 4 of Matthew's gospel. Now, he's first tempted with provision. Satan says, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. Jesus is then tempted with protection. Satan says to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Finally, Jesus is tempted with earthly power. Satan says, all these kingdoms I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me. Now, after Jesus has resisted all of these temptations, Luke tells us that the devil departed from him until an opportune time. My friends, that time is now. It has come. The people of Jerusalem are desperate for a king to reign over them. After hundreds of years of foreign rule, first by the Greeks and now by the Romans, The time has come for the Lord to put his man on the throne. How tempting it must have been for Jesus to simply give the people what they craved. Every politician and cult leader knows that the combination of provision, protection, and power will make the people putty in your hands. But this is not the kind of king Jesus is going to be. This is not godly leadership. Once again, where everyone else has gotten it wrong, Jesus will get it right. Now, our two gospel readings today seem to be such a contrast. We begin the service declaring Jesus to be king, and just a few short minutes later, we are crying for him to be crucified. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prays, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Earthly power is alluring, but it is not how God is going to deal with the problem of sin. Instead, it will be through submission and suffering. Jesus, the King, is arrested, and yet he doesn't resist. Jesus, the King, is put on trial, and yet he makes no defense. Jesus, the King, is beaten, and he bears the pain. Jesus, the King, is mocked and crucified between two robbers, and yet he does not decry the injustice. Jesus, the King, is helpless and powerless before the people, and yet this is the way that God will show his ultimate power and authority in the universe. As the Lord says in Isaiah chapter 55, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." We ought to remember these words as we enter into Holy Week. In a world where we are constantly looking to secular governments to give us what we desire, we must remember that it is Jesus alone who can provide for us the one thing that we truly need, which is reconciliation with God. In a world where we are longing for protection from powers and principalities, we must remember that it is Jesus alone who can protect us from the consequences of our sinful nature. In a world that is hungry for earthly power, we must remember that only Jesus gives us power over death itself. And he does all of this by submitting to the will of the Father and obediently suffering shame and death for our sakes. Holy Week is meant to be the most important week of the Christian year, as we remember the Lord's passion and death, all culminating in the celebration of his resurrection 1 week from today. This year will be a strange Holy Week, to be sure. We will not be able to gather together on Maundy Thursday to wash each other's feet and share in the Lord's Supper together. We won't be able to join with other Christians to walk the way of the cross on Good Friday. There will be no baptisms at the Easter Vigil this year. And I can honestly say that my heart is grieved when I think about these things. But we need to remember that we worship a God who is not limited by our limitations. We worship a God who is not bound by our human conventions. We worship a God who transformed a cross of death and shame into a symbol of life and victory. Now, Jesus may not have been the king that the people wanted or expected. But he is the Savior that we all need. This Holy Week will certainly not be the one I wanted or expected. But I have no doubt that God will redeem it and use it for his glory. Now, one of the interesting things that many churches have seen in these past few weeks is that these virtual worship services are providing a safe place for people who are curious about Christianity to come and check us out, to see what's happening in all these weird churches around the country. People are searching for meaning in the midst of madness, and we have this golden opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus with them. So if you're one of those people checking us out today, we are so excited that you're here. Now, hopefully I'm going to put our web address at the bottom of the screen for you to see. And I want to invite you to come and check us out and contact me directly with any questions you might have. And if you're fed up with the way the world does power and kingship, I want to invite you today to give your heart to the one true King who died to set you free and to give you eternal life. Bishop Martin Minns told me a story once about getting on an airplane and sitting next to a young guy in his 20s. The bishop was wearing his clerical collar, and so the young man curiously asked him what he did for a living. Bishop Minns said, "Well, I'm a pastor." The guy kind of huffed and said, "Well, I don't believe in God." Now, Bishop Minns could have just left it at that and gone back to his reading. But instead, he decided to respond with a question of his own. And he said, "Well, tell me about this God you don't believe in." So the man proceeded to tell him about this mean, wrathful, power-hungry man in the sky who only wanted to trip people up and punish them for breaking the rules. When he was done, the bishop said, "I don't believe in that God either." This false vision of God is one that is based on our own human fallenness and frailty and inability to use power and authority properly. So I want to invite you to join us for our services this Holy Week to see how God uses power and authority. He doesn't do it to trip us up or to get us. He uses his power to redeem us. He suffers so that we might be saved. This is the God that we invite you to believe in today. If you haven't done so already, come and meet him this week in this unexpected place, during this extraordinary time, and then fall down on your knees and declare him as your King. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen.